Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Traveling Culturati. I'm Javon Harley. The website is travelingculturati.com. Go ahead and check it out. And you can always email me. I want to know what's on your mind. Or if there's something you'd like to talk about. It's time for the Culture Report. And this week, we're checking out Budapest, Hungary. From opera to ruined bars, Budapest has a rich and interesting history and culture, and some very familiar products we didn't realize were associated with it, or maybe we just forgot. And in case you think I'm mispronouncing it, I'm not. It is pronounced Budapest. Joining me to tell us all about it is Peter Gomery with Columbus Welcome Management, a destination management company in Budapest. Hello, Peter, and welcome to the Traveling Culturati.
Nice to have me. Thank you.
Peter, tell us about Budapest.
Coming to Budapest, people don't really know what it is. Now, what it is actually is the largest metropolitan area in all of Central Europe. It's a big city with 2 million people, and the city itself, even though it's only about 140 years old, because the twin cities of Buda and Pest have only been united into Budapest in 1873.
Well, let's stop there, because that was one of the first things that you said that surprised me. How is the city divided between Buda and Pest, and then how they came together?
Buda has been here for at least 700 years. Then Pest developed at the end of the 18th century, and the two together, when they were united, they became one of the wonders of Europe. By the turn of the century, the early 1900s, Budapest was a true rival of both Paris and Vienna, you know, when it came to haute couture, or it came to theater or opera. We have now two opera houses in Budapest. Music is something really very important to a nation that has produced Franz Liszt and Béla Bartók, who contributed to 20th century modern music tremendously.
Why are so many flocking to Budapest?
Mostly what people flock to Budapest for is the incredibly beautiful scenic location.
It really is scenic, and part of that is because a river runs through it.
The river here is majestically cutting the city into two, but actually it's not just the city. This is a divider of two distinct parts of Hungary. So on the Buda side, which is the historic part, that's where the castle is, that's what, 700 years old, that is the West Bank, and the entire western part of the country, as you go further out from Budapest towards Austria, it is rolling hills. That's the most fertile land that we have. That's where all the agricultural products come from. That is Transdanubia, distinctly richer, more livable than the eastern part. So Pest lies on the east bank of the river, but it also part of our incredibly large plains. So it's really a flat area, and that's where our cattle are running, and that's where our daring horsemen show their skills. Hungarians are an equestrian nation. That's how we came here at the end of the 9th century and actually devastated the entire area around us.
How would you describe the style of Budapest?
So Budapest now stands like it did in the 1920s and 30s, with, of course, new addition. And what that makes is a very exciting cultural mix of essentially Art Nouveau, turn-of-the-century eclectic architecture. You have neoclassical buildings and neo-Renaissance, neo-Baroque, and neo-this and neo-that, mixing with very modern architecture. Also, the city is a mixture of the oldest culture you can imagine, whether it is music or the arts or anything else. Nobody knows, for instance, that Rubik, if you remember Rubik's Cube,
yes,
that was the craze of the 80s, that he's a Budapest math professor, and he still lives in Budapest and actually teaches at the university. Few people know that the water polo is Hungary's probably number one sport.
There was one thing that you said to me that really struck a nerve, and that was the cafe culture. And I think that kind of defines the culture as a whole.
It does, because it's a very peculiar institution. It's something like the manifestation of a way of life, which is a little bit laid back. It is about being able to sit with a cup of coffee for hours on end, if it's good weather, out on a terrace, watch people, have a hearty discussion with your friends or relatives, and not being bothered by any waiter who would desperately want to turn the table around. I have no idea how they manage financially, you know, but the point is that our writers and actors and intelligentsia in the earlier part of the 20th century, they were sitting sometimes for weeks and months at the same table. Some of them had their address at the cafes. That's where the whole intellectual life actually happened, the cafes. And the cafes remain. You still have them in Budapest and all the other Central European cities, and it is an institution.
What is the national dish, and is there just one, or are there many?
Well, there are a few that are considered Hungarian national dish. Goulash, notably. It's actually a rich soup that the Hungarian cattlemen invented when they were months out on the plains without any food other than the animals. This is a rich soup that you can prepare on the open fire in a kettle, and it's called goulash in Hungarian. That's what became goulash. But as said, in Hungary, it's a soup. Generally, because paprika is our national spice, and it grows all over the place in million varieties, from green to yellow and red and God knows what else. That's the basis of our cooking. So paprika chicken, and also poverty in the countryside for centuries dictates that people were cooking very rudimentary meals. We have paprika potato. All you need is a little onion, some oil or lard, the potatoes.
What about the drink? What is the national drink of Hungary?
Of course, it's schnapps. Any kind of fruit is turned into fruit brandy from grape peelings to apples. And particularly famous are the apricot brands, apricot brandy.
I love
apricot. We also do peach. We do plum. I mean, there's hardly any fruit that people would not turn into brandy.
There's something else that's very unique here. The bars that have developed from the old Jewish quarters, that there are now some bars and a whole night scene that has developed from that.
And that came out of nothing, you know, because it's again like so many other Hungarian inventions, it was born out of necessity and out of poverty. What happened was, as I said, in the Second World War, the city got seriously devastated, and the whole districts were either leveled or damaged, and those buildings in the 45 years of Soviet era were not touched. So there was no maintenance, no painting, no putting back walls, nothing. And then when the country became free, finally in 1990, like the rest of Eastern Europe, entrepreneurs started to think what you can do with this dilapidated building. These are tenement buildings, the old style, where you have a huge courtyard in the middle, and you have hanging walkways like catwalks in prisons. You know, it's a very similar setup with very rudimentary apartments. They simply made very superficial repairs, and then typically they would put a glass roof on top and leave everything the way it is, and put in very funky things like all these German plastic cars cut in half with flowers in them, painted colors like the 1960s American hippies, you know. So it's hip places, and that proliferated within a matter of about 2 or 3 years at the end of the 90s, and by now it's attracting crowds. You actually cannot walk on the streets anymore.
Very crowded.
It's so crowded in the bars. Some only serve booze. Some will show film. Have a live band. You have DJs. This is called the Ruin Bar District, and it's probably the most unique part of Budapest because I'm a pretty well-traveled guy. I'm not aware of any city that has any kind of such entertainment district in such density.
Well, I certainly had never seen it, and it was very fun, and it was, I think, kind of like a window into another cultural aspect of Budapest. Well, Peter, I want to thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your beautiful city with me. And so why don't we sign off with giving a cheers in Hungarian.
Egészségedre, to your health. See you in Budapest.
Well, egészségedre to you too, Peter.
Well, that's it for the show today, but I'll be back next week. And remember, wherever you go, go with all your heart. Confucius. To find out more about the Traveling Culturati, visit the website at travelingculturati.com. Follow and share with me on social media and join the Travel Club. Special thanks to studio producer Brittany Riddle, video producer Howard Little, executive producer Jean Harley, and to you, thanks for tuning in. I'm Javon Harley with the Traveling Culturati, exclusively on HUR Voices.
You've been listening to the Traveling Culturati with travel pro Javon Harley. Tune in next week at the same time on HUR Voices.
Join Traveling Culturati and Advantage International for the once-in-a-lifetime trip to Washington, D.C. for the historic opening of the National Museum of African American History and Culture. The National Museum of African American History and Culture will be a place where all Americans can learn about the richness and diversity of the African American experience. Join us as we visit the museum. Enjoy a nighttime tour of the monuments. Our package includes air from Chicago, accommodations at the J.W. Marriott, tours, selected meals, and events. Go to advantage-intl.com for complete information and to book.